Praise the Lord. You know, believe it or not, everything that we have discussed as far as what's going on in Shawano, what's going on in different places, we are talking about building. The church is being built. Every time we gather here, God is building to the church. He's strengthening. He's reinforcing. He's adding unto. Multiple generations in this room right now. Sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters perhaps. And God is building and adding to the church. I want to give honor to my pastor and my pastors. This is ordained by God, and I just want to get into the Word of God tonight. But before we do that, I have asked Brother Mundy and the music team to play a song before the preaching. Different perhaps, but really right in the vein and the movement of what God is doing right now, both here in Racine and in Shawano and all the other places in this state that are gathering to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, build your church. Lord, strengthen your church. If there was ever a time where this world needed to see what's good and what's right and what's honorable and what's true, Lord, we're living in that time. Lord, let the church arise and shine your goodness to this world. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. All power. And in Jesus, we cannot fail. He's in charge. And we are His church. And He directs and guides so the church can be successful in Him. If you would turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Thank you, Brother Mundy and music team. So appreciate. They always sent the worshipers before the battle. First Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, that foundation, that fail not place that He has given to the church, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. The application I'd like to use is things that cause us to lose focus, things that cause us to look in a direction that takes our eyes off the one who's in charge. And because of that, we can't walk a straight line, but we're wandering. Like the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness because of murmuring and complaining and behavior that was displeasing to God. I want to speak to you tonight a subject titled Walk, Not Wander. The Lord has given His church a clear sound and a clear direction so that this world can look upon it and see something just like you and I saw one day that drew us to something totally different than we were used to when we were wandering around in the wilderness. Pray with me tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that I would simply be a vessel that you would flow through tonight. Speak to us, God. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Lord, let us see your direction. Lord, let us grasp it. And not only let us follow it, Lord, but let it take us to someone that could follow it as well and allow for your love and compassion to flow through us to another. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 7 of that same chapter says, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them did and committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples," or examples, "and they are written for our admonition, our instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry," or worshiping man, or agendas of man, or things that are wanting to get our attention. Paul is speaking to the New Testament church here, but he is emphasizing to them the things that happened to the children of the Old Testament times and the importance of them to help them learn and understand, one, how they got where they were, two, their heritage and the importance of it, three, who got them to where they were, and number four, and most important, is that the journey is not over. The church needs to move forward. You see, the same God is still moving His church forward. And He went back to Moses and all those times to show where things started and how our heritage came from the very beginning, and now we are walking in the priesthood that the Lord allowed to be lived out before our eyes as we read the words of the Old Testament. Now watch. It's important where we came from and what God established for his church in that process, right up to where we are today. It's extremely vital. But what we can't lose focus on is that the journey and the purpose for the church is not over. And we must keep moving forward. Leadership may change and will change, but the same God is still moving, and he's the head of the body. After mourning for Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and 9, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." The same God that spoke to Moses now was the same God that was working through the leadership of Joshua. And it's the same God that's working in Racine and in Shawano and wherever. The same God directing the man of God to speak to the people of God. As leadership is about to change from Moses to Joshua, as he admonishes the children of God as their leader, he stresses to them, number one, the importance of what God has established with them and what they are to continue to apply to their lives. This stuff just doesn't go away after one man fades and another arises, but it's the truth that has been what impacted his people from generation to generation. And it must continue on. That's why tonight in this place, from the teenagers to perhaps the little children, we're building a church. We're instilling something in them that will carry them forward as they get older. Do you know tonight, when I walked up to the balcony to give my scriptures to the person who was up there, this young lady, just 2 weeks ago, I and my wife watched a video of our wedding 23 years ago. And that young lady that I handed my scriptures to tonight wasn't even here yet. But the Lord is building the church. And generation to generation will take the same truth to those who so desperately need it. But it's the church that needs to continue to be the voice, to be the feet, to be the hands. The importance of what God has established with them and what they are to continue to apply to their lives, and two, that they are to continue moving forward. The journey is not over. Deuteronomy, the first chapter. Verse 1 says this: "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Disieb." Jumping down to verse 6, it says, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And he says in verse 8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord your God swear unto your fathers Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give them unto them and to their seed after them. The mission moves forward. The generations take the word on and move the agenda of God into those places where there will be conflict, there will be challenges. But it's God that works and protects his people. Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. Just want to build a foundation. Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. We are a part of that heritage. We are a part of the promise that was given to Abraham. We are his seed and heirs according to the promise. And the same God that fought for them in strange lands is the same God that will fight for us wherever he sends us, in this city or even somewhere in this world, for some of our young people who are going to travel and shine the light for the Lord. Wherever we go, the Lord is with us. Ye shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. The word of God is important, and it needs to be in you, and you need to keep it, not add unto it or take away from it, not like this page and tear that page out. The word of God is complete, and the church needs to portray the whole word of God. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor and all the men that followed Baal-peor, and the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye, listen to this promise. Verse 4, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. What has the Lord kept us from in the years that we've been walking for him? Why? Because we walk for him. He's faithful to his people, and the same God who protected his people back here is protecting us this day. Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. And we know this is something that is, there's a whole lot built on the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, and all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Sounds to me like it's a journey that the church takes moving forward from generation to generation to generation. Church, this world needs us. This world needs to see and hear truth. And this is the church. This is what he has chosen to admonish and touch this world. You and I, our children, and if the Lord tarries, our children's children. Now, Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, is a very rich chapter and can be an example of the church and to the church. Verses 1 through 7, the theme is, remember God's mighty acts. And what his mighty acts were in that 11th chapter, I challenge you, read the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy and picture the church there. That's us. His mighty acts, he leads and protects his people. He leads and protects us. Verses 8 through 12 talks about a land that floweth with milk and honey. And what it is for us is this land we are in, the city of Racine, we are walking in his promises. There are so many there that are waiting to hear from the church and waiting to be touched by the Lord. Verses 13 through 17, blessings of rain and food. Yes, he provides, he takes care of all those things, but rain and food also, the Spirit and the Word. And we are the church who takes the Spirit and the Word to this community. Verses 18 through 21, lifespan extended for obedience to the Lord. He came to give us life, but it also talks about handing the teaching down to generations. And that's what we're doing, that's what they're doing in Shawano tonight, the next generation. And after that, an older generation, and after that, a little older generation. But the Lord is building and adding and strengthening to his church. Verses 26 through 28 of that 11th chapter. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And this is God speaking through the man of God. And a curse if you will not obey the commands of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, and go after other gods which ye have not known. See, lack of obedience leads to turning away, which is just another phrase for wandering. Why? Because we've stepped away from the instruction that gives life and gives strength and gives protection, and now we're out there on our own, just wandering in the land. And there's so many right now that are wandering, just waiting to be intercepted. That word blessing means prosperity. I set before you a blessing, a source of a blessing or prosperity or the praise of God. He looks upon and smiles at. It's a gift, a present, a treaty of peace. To walk in obedience. And the curse is a vilification. Cursed or despicable. Treated with contempt, dishonor, or moved. Look at there it is again. To and fro. Or wandering. In obedience, we walk with him. Adam walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. So many of the Old Testament people that we know walked with God and were blessed because of it. And so too are we. So the church moves on. It journeys from Moses to Joshua. You know what's amazing? In Moses in Exodus 14 and 13, God told him to remove the sandals off his feet. He stands on holy ground. Joshua 3 and 8, God tells him the same, to remove his shoes. He's on holy ground. Why? The same God, wanting his people to be the same thing and go the same way. And realize he's the one. Stand still in Exodus 14 and 13. He told Moses, stand still before they cross the sea. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't wander around, but stand and listen. Pay attention. See what I won't do. And then in Joshua 3 and 8, before he's going to cross the river, the Lord tells him to stand still. And then again, Exodus 3 and 5, Moses, take off your shoes. Take off your sandals. The ground you stand on is holy ground. Joshua, in Joshua 5 and 15, take off your shoes. See, the same God whose word will live forever, it will never die, instructs the priesthood, guides and directs them. In Jericho, they all walked around the city. They moved. But notice Joshua in 6 and 10, Joshua 6 and 10, it says, and Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. No talking. No murmuring, no complaining. I got to believe Joshua saying, I am not wandering another 40 years in the wilderness because of your murmuring and complaining. This is what God told us to do, and this is what we're going. Don't believe what the world wants to tell you. That's not important for us today. The church doesn't need to do that today. That wasn't for us. That was for them. It's just another attempt at the enemy to take away from the word of God, but it's truth from the beginning, handed down from generation to generation. I remember, and I mentioned this not too long ago, how we heard on a Sunday morning in the gifts of the Spirit, in a song service that said, murmuring leads to wandering, but obedience and worship leads to victory. Because of murmuring and whining and complaining and not being satisfied with what was provided, they wandered in the wilderness because of doubting God and his provisions. But walking in obedience leads to victory. We are all still called to walk in obedience, not to wander in complaining. And from generation to generation, we teach the same statutes or the same word that God laid out from the very beginning. And it's what changed us, it's what cleans us up, and it's what sends us in the right direction. And it's the same thing that will change the next generation and the next generation if the Lord tarries. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run, or moving forward, the race that is set before us. Not wandering and looking into this and going to that and hearing this and partaking of that. So many things. 700 wives and 300 plus concubines did Solomon have. And amazing, God appeared to him twice. But we see him at the end of his kingship burning incense to false gods because he was pulled aside by relationships that had him take his eyes off the one who gave him the wisdom and the direction that he wanted for his people. And now he looked in the wrong direction and he's off burning incense to false gods. The wisest man ever to live. That's why Paul admonished them using that scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, where we started tonight. Don't think you can't be deceived. And this world has far more than 1,000 ways to get our attention these days. The list goes on and on and on. But the Lord tells us over and over in His world, in His Word, to focus on Him. Right now, Jesus is asking His church to go into this city. How did He do that? He spoke to the man of God and gave him a vision of where the church should go. And we see it on the screen week after week about lives that have been changed because why? They were touched by God. Not because they went to this concert or that, but they were touched by God in a short period of time. Isn't it amazing, the Lord, before His triumphal entry, instructed His servants, His people, to go and get the colt that was tied at the inn. Just go get it. And if they stop you and say, hey, what are you doing? You just tell them, I have need of it. And they'll let you take it. I step out in faith and am bold enough to say, if we will walk in obedience and listen to the vision that God has given the man of God for this church and go into this city, the prayer walk that's happening, God is preparing something. And right now, in this city, there are people that have burdens tied to them that the Lord never intended for them to carry. And we can step into their lives and let them know that the Lord has need of you and God wants to ride in them and be a part of them and have the triumphal entry in their lives. He's already preparing. We simply, in faith, have to walk into it, just like the Israelites had to walk into all these different places, these enemy territories, but God had it all prepared, a land that floweth with milk and honey. You just show up and do what I tell you, and it will be well with you. I know that sounds simple, but that's the God we serve. In Acts 2, and let's go to Acts, the second chapter. I think we've spent a little time there in the years I've been here. Acts 2. Starting at verse 46, look at, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. Do you see how that runs together? Praising God and having favor with all people. Do you know that our worship services do more for us in the lives of the lost people in the city than we could even realize? As we worship and praise the Lord in this place, He's tearing down walls in this city. praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now I know added unto that, that's people increasing in size. But I tell you that every time we come to this place, God is adding unto his church in you and I. He's strengthening us. He's strengthening our children. He's fortifying the body. He daily loads us down with benefits. So you can't convince me that he does not strengthen and add unto his church when we are in his presence, worshiping him and walking in obedience to the Lord. He adds unto the church daily such as should be saved. New converts are exciting. So we have family here, grown-ups, children, teenagers. That's true in the natural, but it's true in the spiritual. We have couples sitting here tonight that have not been a part of the body for long. They're a younger generation. And then there's us guys that, I looked different 23 years ago. And so did my pastor Schumacher. But through that time, we faced some battles. And God has always, always, always been faithful to us. And we can tell our children that. And they have seen it happen. And the same will happen with them. So the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, we heard this scripture Sunday night. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting that stuff that did nothing but mess us up and cause us to wander, forgetting those things that were behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. What is that calling? To be the priesthood. We are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have we obtained mercy. Why? Walking in obedience. Applying the word of God to our lives. And he changed situations. I'm going to land this plane. Let me just share something with you quickly. Many years ago in this place, I shared a dream with the church that the Lord gave me when I was a new convert almost 24 years ago. And in this dream, I was in a house. There were three levels. There was a basement. There was a living area that was furnished and plush and looked really nice. And then there was an attic. And in the middle, the place that was furnished, it was a beautiful place. There were some of my old friends there. Three of them were brothers. David, Peter, and Paul. And one of them was one of their friends that was an acquaintance of mine. His name was Mark. And the other one was a guy I played football with in high school. We called him Matt. His name was Matthew. So who was in the living room? Matthew, Mark, Peter, Paul,
And David was there too. But there were some things going on, and there was turmoil in that household. And this house was a new construction. And up in the attic, I was up there looking around, and there were chemicals that were harsh chemicals. They were dangerous and poisonous. And there were also rain gutters up there, brand new rain gutters. I know what you're thinking. That guy was eating pizza. The rain gutters were in the attic. They were sitting there, and there were chemicals. The basement, the foundation was wet, and it was weak. And as I went from the attic, or the upstairs, downstairs, where things were going on, all of a sudden, there was a snake that jumped into the couch that I was sitting on. There's a snake here! There's a snake here! And we were trying to get this snake, and we threw a garbage can over it, and it wiggled it and got out, and then it got loose, and we tried a bag, and we were trying different things. And we'd contain it for a while, and then it would get loose and make its way through this area of living. And then I had an idea, and in my kitchen, I had this Tupperware bowl. It had a red top. I have to confess to you, I ruined that bowl making popcorn, so I don't have it. But it looked much like this one. And on that red top, it said, Christmas goodies. Who do we celebrate at Christmas time? And in this dream, someone had enough sense to grab that bowl, and we got that snake. It was under a garbage can. We flipped it over, scooped it up, and took the lid and put it on. And the snake was contained. Now, I woke up the next morning, and I thought, dear God, what was that all about? And it was about 3 days later, in a worship service, that the Lord spoke to me and told me this. You're wrestling with things of your past. You're not committed. I brought you the gospel, Mark, Matthew, but yet you have 1 foot here and 1 foot there. You're struggling, and things are happening in your mind. The snake came from the attic, and it went down into the living area, and because my rain gutters weren't on, these thoughts and these actions were getting down to the foundation, and they were making me weak. And until I would walk firmly in Him and devote my life to not the past, but what He has put there now within my heart, and focus on Him, put the rain gutters on, whatever hit the mind would flow off and run away from the foundation and keep me strong. You see, because He reminded me that when I washed you in my name and you were covered with my blood, the past is covered by the blood of Jesus. Sealed and gone. And so just a week ago, when I was looking at myself and how I had changed, and now my hair that's brown is silver. My wife says it looks good. Thank you, dear. He reminded me of this, of the gospel. And now, my pastor, Pastor Schumacher, said tonight, I'm sold out. And he showed me how, because of being sold out, and now Matthew, Mark, and Peter, and David, and all those from the pages of the Word of God are inside of me. And I'm sold out to that. That now my mind is focused on him. And now you are no longer a new construction, but what has been put in your mind that I put in your heart is now flowing out to others. This isn't about me. This is about the church. And this is about what God has done with all of us, washed in the blood, sanctified by his Spirit. He's in the living room. And because of that, we can allow for the things of God to flow through us and to this world. He showed us from the beginning the importance of his word and truth and how it would be handed from generation to generation. And we are at the threshold of something really big here. And we just have to prepare ourselves to be willing to allow for what's here and in here to flow to them, covered and protected by the blood of Jesus. Would you stand with me tonight? First Peter 1 and 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." And there's many that are walking around in it today, and you and I are the vessels that can bring the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives and allow for them to walk in the same hope, same mercy, in Jesus' name. Would you please come to this altar tonight and picture in your mind that person that the Lord has been ushering into your lives, that one that you've been reaching to. And could we ask him tonight, "Lord, allow for me not to wander, not to be distracted, but allow for me to focus on that person, Lord. Allow for me to walk into that situation. Lord, prepare the way and allow for me to step into their lives and shine your light into darkness." In Jesus' name, the altar is open.